Crucial elections are coming up on Thursday, May 6th, in the three countries that comprise Great Britain, England, Wales, and Scotland. Nationalists in Scotland and Wales are hoping to do well enough to demand referendums on independence from London. In 2014, Scottish voters rejected independence in a referendum, but Brexit and the handling of the coronavirus pandemic are renewing interest and exacerbating tensions between the nations in what's being described as the disunited kingdom. NewsHour Weekend Special Correspondent Malcolm Brabant reports from North Wales.
Sundowner time in Carnarvon, 300 miles northwest of the British seat of government in Westminster, London. This World Heritage town is a bastion of Welsh separatism, and voters are on a collision course with Westminster.
Essentially, it's all about being anti-Westminster, because it's an establishment of awful people.
The union is collapsing. I think Scotland has done pretty well on pushing independence themselves.
I really got to the point where I just think we've got to go for it, or it's not going to happen at all.
For the past 20 years, Howell Williams has represented this district in the British Parliament on behalf of the Nationalist Party of Wales, known in his language as Plaid Cymru.
Our motto is stop the world, we want to get on. Actually, we want to join the world, not separate ourselves from it, but we want to join the world as ourselves. And I think we have a positive contribution to make to world affairs in our own small way.
Until now, only a minority of the population has supported Welsh nationalism. But with polls estimating that 35% are in favour of independence, Plaid Cymru is promising a referendum if it gets into power in the Welsh Assembly.
Certainly Wales is a poor country relative to, say, Germany or Denmark or wherever. But we look at other small nations across the water here towards Ireland and see the huge strides that they have made as an independent country.
Wales, Scotland and Northern Ireland were given their own national assemblies at the turn of the century. So-called devolution gave powers over issues such as health and education to the three new authorities in Cardiff, Edinburgh and Belfast. The Welsh Assembly has traditionally been governed by the Labour Party, which is opposed to independence. Sean Jones is a Labour councillor in Carnarvon.
I want to see Wales have more self-determination, and that means more powers towards our country. However, going as far as independence, I think, is a step in the wrong direction. We are at the moment having nearly £20 billion by the Westminster government to control and to run our services. Without that, I think Wales would be in danger.
Polls suggest that Labour will be the biggest party after the election, but may have to share power with the Welsh Nationalists.
The British government likes to boast that the United Kingdom is the most successful political and economic union the world has ever seen. But a new study by public policy experts at Cambridge University warns that Boris Johnson is widely perceived as a Prime Minister who only speaks for England.
This present crisis is, I think, a lot more serious than the British state seems to realise.
Historian Owen Jones believes that English Brexiteers, who triggered Britain's divorce from the European Union, bear responsibility for Welsh referendum demands.
From the perspective of Welsh Home Rule, or indeed Welsh independence, I think Brexiteers are more to be thanked than blamed. The fact that they are moving against the small measure of self-government that Wales has at the moment is forcing people to choose their side.
The Welsh language is part of the cultural identity driving the independence movement. What's unusual here is that the Brown family, all fluent Welsh speakers, are English. They fell in love with Welsh culture, set up home here, and have become Welsh nationalists.
Successive English governments have always been patronising towards us.
Because of ignorance, they're ready to belittle the language, and I really don't like that.
Becca Brown was elected as a local councillor for Plaid Cymru during the pandemic. Having control over health issues enabled Wales to enforce tougher measures than England.
Mainly for me, it's an ambition for Wales wanting to see us healthier and wealthier, because going back to the pandemic, what we have seen is, I think, the eight areas in the UK who were worst hit by COVID, five of them were here in Wales, and that's poverty.
All Welsh eyes are on Scotland, which is further along the road to independence, because the Nationalists dominate the political scene here. As she launched her election manifesto, party leader Nicola Sturgeon laid down the gauntlet to Westminster.
I believe passionately that with the powers of independence, we can do so much more for Scotland.
This is what remains of Kelso Abbey after English troops sacked it in the 16th century. It's in the Borders region where Paul Wheelhouse is fighting for re-election. He's been the energy minister in Sturgeon's government. Wheelhouse believes Brexit and Sturgeon's competence during the pandemic have boosted their chances.
It's not a competition, of course, but we have seen a lower level of deaths in Scotland, a lower level of infections in Scotland, and we've sometimes taken politically courageous decisions that have been unpopular at the time but proved to be right in terms of shutting down parts of the economy earlier than in England.
This is the border. On the left bank of the River Tweed is Scotland, on the right, England. John Lamont is a Conservative member of the Westminster Parliament for the Scottish Borders.
We need to not only ensure that we defeat the spread of the virus, but we need to deal with the economic recovery plan, and that will take some time. So I don't think now is the time for a referendum.
The Scottish political scene has been complicated by a vicious split in nationalist ranks over unproven allegations of sexual harassment by the former SNP leader Alex Salmond. Salmond was cleared in court of all charges. His supporters believe that Nicola Sturgeon orchestrated a campaign to bring him down. Salmond has formed his own party, ALBA.
The party's strategic aims are clear and unambiguous: to achieve a successful, socially just, environmentally responsible, independent country.
ALBA candidates like Christina Hendry reject claims that independence demands will damage Scotland's post-COVID recovery.
Scotland is best placed to decide how we recover from the pandemic. People of Scotland are best placed to decide what policies we should be putting forward, how we should be recovering.
At a memorial to fallen British veterans, former soldier Bob Bolton stands up for the Union.
We are better together. This pandemic has proved that, and if it hadn't been for the UK government, Scotland would have been so far behind in the vaccination process, there would be many, many more people dead in Scotland than what there is now.
Some analysts believe that Boris Johnson should offer the Scots a surprise referendum now, because there's a good chance of it rejecting independence in the wake of the pandemic.
Scots will recognise the great benefits of being part of a strong United Kingdom. They recognise what they contribute to the entirety of the UK as well, so I do not accept that independence is inevitable.
But in this small Welsh garden, hopes are soaring higher than ever.
Scotland is very much our model. If Scotland goes independent, then I really do think that there will be nothing to hold us back then.
The good ship Britain may look stable now, but troubled waters lie ahead.